Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
And a winning athlete does not choose between the good and the bad. He chooses between the better and the best.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
You and I as Christians need to be in a place to be able to defend our faith. What you believe in according to the Bible, the simple gospel, is not just some history of some fable or some made-up, nonsensical belief. If you have a Bible, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, because we mentioned and stated that faith is the confidence and conviction in Christ, that faith goes beyond reason. In other words, your faith becomes better than reason, better than logic. You have to understand that your faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tried like gold. Your Christian life is going to be a challenge if you're going to accomplish anything for God. The writer of Hebrews began stating, and as we talked about explaining faith and expressing faith, and he tried to walk through, and we walked through that passage on exposition on the very statement that Habakkuk made, that the just shall live by faith. And we walked through very simply the outline that the explanation of the Christian faith and the expression of the Christian's faith. And then he walked through all these different examples, which we'll be talking about those specific examples. And then he uses an illustration that every patron and every citizen of that day would recognize in a familiar text to us, but it's in the context of the area of faith, and that's the exhortation to live out the Christian faith. Just like a race, that he uses the illustration, and turn to Hebrews chapter 12, because after listing all of these examples, he says, chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," who's he referring to? All those in chapter 11. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." There are two things that will knock any Christian out of a Christian race. It will either be the disobedience, breaking the rules, or it is discouragement, which is breaking your resolve. And most Christians that have struggles will either, as they look back and say, okay, these are moments in which I've grown and my faith has been strong, but the moments in which I seem to be lacking and difficult in my walk with God is either one of those two areas, either disobedience or discouragement. And the writer here selects a very common familiar metaphor and picture called a race. And so he uses that metaphor by saying these fourfold solutions that'll help you in running the Christian life. What are those? And all of those in relationship to your faith. But this is the fourfold solution to running the race. Number one is, he says it this way, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," those in chapter 11, or in other words, he's saying, you need to remember the saints. You know what can help you in your Christian life? You remember those that have gone on before you. Really, what he's meaning is their life is giving a testimony for us. These people are not witnessing what we are doing. Rather, they are being witnesses to us that God can see us through. God bore witness to them as they're bearing witness to us that it's possible that I can keep going with this. We have before us a great testimony. There is multiples people, and next week I'm looking forward to start walking through each one of them and their life and why God put those into chapter 11. They become, as if I can call it them, calling out to us, live by faith. That's what he's saying. Live by faith. You can do it. In other words, the point is, if they can run the race, so can I, very simply. That's the whole point. You know what? If they can do it, so can I. He also goes on to say, you want to have the solution of not being weary and discouraged? Number two, remove the obstacles. That's, he says it this way, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. What is he talking about? He's talking about removing the obstacles. And notice the two. Do you know the passage? He says the weights and the sins. Why do we use that? Why does he say weights and why does he say the sin? Singular. And I'm sure you've heard plenty of messages, but let me state the obvious. Weights are what? They're matters of preference. They're matters of God saying, lay it aside. It's a distinction that's made between the weight and the sin. And the weight, listen, refers to anything that is unnecessary. It's anything that you really don't have, that's bulky. They're the weights that we should move so that we might win the race. Everything that hinders our progress, that might even be good things in the eyes of others. And a winning athlete does not choose between the good and the bad. He chooses between the better and the best. And he says, those are weights. Those are obstacles. Those are things that are going to get in the way and hinder you. Now you say, well, Pastor, what in the world are those? I don't know what those are for you. But I'm going to guarantee you something. If you are a child of God and the Spirit of God rests within your body, there are moments and times when you will be convicted about something that is not a matter of sin, right or wrong. It's a matter of good, better, or best. There are times that you're going to look and say, you know, I just don't know whether I should do that. In other words, others may, but you cannot. I don't know how many times I've had a conversation with college students over the years that they would say, you know what, Dr. Heron, hey, listen, I'm wanting to do this summer. I said, great, but I just don't know whether I should really do that. And inevitably, it comes down to the fact that maybe you have the freedom to do that, but just because you have the freedom to do that, is that hindering you in your run for Christ? And he says that's different then. Those are obstacles. Those are preferences. And by the way, this is one major reason why you will find some Christians that can do some things, and they seem to have a freedom, and a, hey, I can do that. And there's other Christians that cannot. You say, well, see, you know, they're just a weak baby Christian. Maybe. Maybe they're stronger than you are. Maybe they have a strong enough resolve to say, you know what, I could do that, but I'm choosing not to do that because if I do that, it's going to hinder me. I grew up, for example, let me use an illustration, put some flesh onto this thing. I remember years ago, we grew up going to movies all the time. It was like a form of entertainment, no big deal. We'd go, we would get the station wagon because there were no minivans. And we would get in the station wagon, the white station wagon, we'd drive down to the drive-in and we'd back up and open up the tailgate, the same tailgate that about got my neck cut off because my older brother, that one earlier Sunday that we were waiting in church parking lot, my brother was in the front of the car, I was in the back of the car and the window was partway up and I was looking out the window like this, my other brother that was in the front of the car and it didn't have any OSHA-approved toggle switches at that time, he turned the switch for the back window to go up. And it didn't have one of those sensories that if it got a certain thing, it would stop. It kept going. And so my neck is out there going, hey, man. And my brother hit the switch, and that window's going like this. And I'm yelling, dip, dip. And I'm like, okay, dip. Thankfully, there's a rearview mirror. That was the same station wagon. So we opened up the station wagon. We'd watch the drive-in. No big deal. And I remember going back to the Midwest, and we got involved with the ministry. At the time, it was Life Action, and I really got convicted about a lot of things, actually, the point of when salvation took place, and then I started this process of walk. And I remember then, about a year later, coming back to California, and I had the freedom to still go to movies if I wanted to go. But I got to the point that I realized, you know what, I just don't know whether I really need that. Is that really, like, helping my Christian life? I'm just, this is my own personal testimony. And I got the point, so you know what? I don't know that I really need that anymore. That I really need that. I said, I'm just not going to go to movies. Does that make me any more spiritual than anybody else? Not necessarily. But for me, I got the point of thinking, you know what? Others may. I just don't think I should do that. And when I got to that point, it was almost like one of those, okay, Lord, I don't have to have that. I don't think there's some movies necessarily all that bad, but I just don't know if I needed the time and energy. There's other movies that I used to watch that I thought, you know what? Those aren't helping me spiritually. Got the same way in the area of music. Certain things, I had some Christians, and I sent some Christians, man, listen to stuff, and I'm like, and I started having the worst thing I could have ever done. You know what it was? Compare. That didn't help me. Didn't help my Christian life. Didn't help their Christian life. And then I started realizing, you know, God, if for no other reasons, and there are other principles related to that, that one was one that I just said, it's a weight. I don't need it. I don't need it. And when I got to that point, it was one of those tests to say, okay, Lord, if for me it's an obstacle, I'm going to remove it. It's a weight. But he makes a distinction between that in the area of the sin. And I personally think in context, the sin he's talking about is unbelief. Now, you can make application of the sin which so easily entangles or besetting sin is that it might be particular for individuals. It might be for some jealousy or for some sensuality or for some hatred or laziness or lust or unthankfulness or pride. But whatever sin it is, it's got to be stripped off and left behind. But ultimately, it's unbelief. And he says, throw off everything that hinders it and be in a place. And the point is, eliminate the restraints. That's what he's saying. Eliminate the restraints. So if I'm going to continue on, and if I realize that disobedience knocks me out of the race, or discouragement knocks me out of the race, it's breaking the rules or breaking the resolve, then Satan really doesn't care which way it is, as long as you don't end up running the Christian life. And so the writer says, remember the saints, remove the obstacles, and run with patience. Run with patience, he says, the race that is set before us. Why did he say it that way? He said it because patient means endurance. And there is a sense in which the whole point of the race set before us is the same Greek word where we get the word agonize. He's not talking about a sprint. He's talking about a marathon. And there are times when in the midst of that marathon, there are moments when you want to hit the wall and you want to give up, and the endurance factor is there. Vance Havner once said, sometimes your medicine bottle has on it, shake well before using. And that's what God has to do with some of his people. He has to shake them well before they're ever usable, because there are moments in time in which it gets difficult. And God says, I'm doing this to build patience into your life. The Christian life is for everyone going to be a little bit different. And for some, that specific course that's mapped out, the race that is set before us, and the course for each runner is unique. Some are relatively straight, some are all turns, some seem all uphill, some are flat hiking paths, but all are long and some are longer. And we do ourselves not well when we compare our race with other people's race. We say, God, this is a race you put before me. And in either case, for all of us as Christians, we want to do it right. And here's the point. The point is, don't step off into and onto the sidelines. Run with resolve.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.